S-A-B-O-O, San Francisco.
Shimma, shimma. Shimma, shimma.
Let me in.
Shimma, shimma.
I want to be closer to you.
Shimma, shimma.
Open up your soul.
Shimma, shimma.
Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your mind.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. Today I'm starting the show off a little different than I normally do. Normally I have an interview that I have done with someone, but today we're going to go back in time to back when Big Mama Thornton did an interview with Chris Strachwitz, and I never get an opportunity to hear it or play it, so this one is for you, so I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I mean, why don't we start off where you were born?
The 11th of December. An Alabama kid, Montgomery.
What was the year of your birthday? Mind telling us how old you are?
Well, that's a secret.
We'll never find out. What did your folks do? Did any of them play music or sing? Or?
Well, my father, he was a minister. My mother, she was a Christian-hearted working woman. She sang Christian songs. I used to go to church a lot, but just singing, you know, I didn't do too much singing in church.
Did you grow up in the town of Montgomery, or did you?
Well, I left there when I was 14.
Did you leave with your folks, or just take off on your own?
No, I left with a show, the Samuel Green's Hot Harlem Review, out of Atlanta, Georgia.
How did they happen to find you? Did they hear you singing someplace?
Well, I did audition on this show when they was playing a little theater there in the hometown. Well, we went Atlanta, Birmingham, and back home, and Columbus, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, and North, South Carolina, and Florida. We just toured practically everywhere.
What year was this roughly? Can you tell us?
Well, in...
Before the war?
Well, I started before the war, and then after the war broke out, then we went touring through Texas, playing in theaters.
Did they have dancers and comics and all that?
Yeah, dancers, course girls, comedians, singers.
How long did you stay with them?
Well, up until 48. That's when I left in Houston. I quit the show in Houston, Texas.
Did you go on your own from then in Houston?
Well, in Houston, I started recording records for Don Robey before I recorded from him, but he came out to the club I was working called the El Dorado Ballroom there on Elgin and Darling to hear me sing. And right then he wanted me under contract, but I didn't sign right then.
Who were some of the other people with you there at the time? Was it your band, or did you just play it?
No, I was playing with a group called Smiley. He was here, I.H. Smalley. He was the band leader there at the El Dorado. That was his band. And then after he left, another band came in, Pluma Davis and his rock. We call them the House Rockers, and they were doing pretty nice.
Who were some of the other singers around town that you remember around 48, around Houston?
Around Houston then? Well, Gate Mouth Brown, he was real hot there. He was on Peacock label. And Roy Brown, he was in town. He was pretty hot around in that length of time. And I got a chance to meet Louis Jordan when he come to town. Big Joe Turner.
Yeah, he used to be a real favorite around Houston, didn't he?
Yeah. Fats Domino, he was working around. That's when he put out this record. They called me the Fat Man.
Oh, yeah. How long did you stay around Houston then?
Well, in 51, I cut this record, Let Your Tears Fall, Baby. And I went to San Antonio, and I worked down there. I worked in San Antonio for a while. And when I came back, I was working around Houston, different little nightclubs. And Johnny Otis, he came to town. That was in 52. So we did an audition on his show that night when I was working with Gabe Mob Brown. He wanted me to sing with his band. So I did a song with his band. And he liked the way I performed on the stage, so he hired me. So he took me on tour, New York. And that's when I first went to the Apollo Theater in 52.
And did you also go to Los Angeles then?
Well, we left Houston, and we went to Los Angeles. And while I was there, we recorded Hound Dog, but Don Roby put it on the shelf. So we go from Los Angeles, played in California. We played the tour here, Sweets Ballroom, San Francisco, the Fillmore Auditorium. Then we go back to Los Angeles, and then we leave Los Angeles and go back through Houston, Texas, Battle of the Blues with Gabe Mob Brown. Then we leave there, and we goes on through Florida, then on back up on around the East Coast there, coming into New York. We goes into Apollo. That was in June, 52. So the last part of 52, we goes Providence, Rhode Island, all the England states, Boston, Massachusetts, all around up through that. So we leave Providence, that was pretty close to Christmas. And I was supposed to go back. At least I wanted to go home. Kind of homesick, so I wanted to see the old gang. So I caught a train. I leave New York, come back to Houston. And I got there just a little before Christmas. So Don Roby, he put me on a show in his nightclub. And I worked at Christmas and at New Year's after his club. That was before they tore it down. Called the Peacock. The Bronze Peacock, and they tore it down, made the office out of it. Now it's a big office where they cut records. They got a record studio in there where they record. And back in the back, they press their own records. And 1953, that's when I met Johnny Ace. So they sent me to Dayton, Ohio. That's why I joined him there. Playing, perform there at the theater there. I forget the name of the theater. But anyway, I was going to the theater, and I just turned the radio on in the car. And the man said, here's a record that's nationwide, Hound Dog by Willie Mae Thornton. I said, that's me. I hadn't heard the record in so long. So when we got to the theater, they was blasting it. You could hear it from the theater, from the loudspeaker on out. Oh, they just playing Hound Dog all over the theater. So I goes up in the operating room. I said, you mind play that again? Because the man held the record so long, I forgot the words myself. So I was up in the So I stood there while he was playing and listening to it. So that evening, I sang it on the show. And everybody went for it. And so Hound Dog just took off like a jet. Right now, I wish I could get another dog. With a cat or something.
When did you finally come back out here again?
Well, before I came out here, I went back into the Apollo Theater in February of 55. And when I came back, I toured around up that part of the country. That's when I ran into Big Maybell when I was battling the blues. So, well, that tour ended that way, so I drove on back down through Alabama, Georgia, stopping over, seeing friends because I didn't have anything else to do. So I goes back to Houston. Well, we go on a tour with Gabe Mob Brown. I work around with him during 56, the first part of 56. Around Thanksgiving, I came out here and I haven't been back.
Did Roby used to book you? Did he have a booking agency?
Yeah, well, Don Roby didn't actually book me. Evelyn Johnson was booking all the Buffalo booking agents.
Oh, I see. That isn't run by Roby as
much. Well, I don't know whether he had anything to do with it or not, but it's coming out of his office there. Yeah. You know, Peacock, you know, the establishment.
He's an artist, yeah. How did you pick up most of your songs? Did you...
Some I wrote myself, some other people, you know, write, and I sang them. Jerry Lieber, he wrote Hound Dog and I Smell a Rat. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stroll, they wrote those two numbers there. Mm-hmm. And they wrote both sides of that record, if I'm not mistaken. Nightmare was the first Hound Dog. They wrote both sides of that record.
Mm-hmm. Were they from Houston or what?
No, actually, they are right now. They're from New York, but they were staying in Los Angeles at the time when they.
Oh, I see. They were,
you know, yeah, they were down in Los Angeles. They know Johnny Otis very well, you know.
Who were some of your favorite singers when you were a youngster? You know, when you were just growing up.
Well, I didn't have no favorite singer. I just admired good singing, you know. But my favorite blues artist was Muddy Waters and Big Maceo and be surprised, Lowell Fulsom. All the cats, man, I admired them, you know.
Yeah,
Roy Brown, I sang all of his songs. Of course, I didn't have no hit record, but I was singing everybody else's record. Because when I went into the Apollo Theater, you'd be surprised what I went over with, Big. Have Mercy, Mercy Baby by the Dominoes.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Ward and the Domino. That time when Clyde McFadden was there with him, you know.
Yeah, I sure remember. What did your parents think of it when you started singing kind of blues and that church music? Have you ever, you know, seriously thought about, you know, making maybe some records of you know, spirituals and gospels?
I've thought about it a great deal. And I would like very much to do spirituals because I feel that I got the voice. I feel like I got the power. I just feel like I can just do them. I just like in a fine condition. You'd be surprised. Mostly my occupation every morning is turn on my radio, listen to spirituals. I love those spirituals. I love good singing. And like the Dixie Hummingbirds, the Soul Stirrers, Mahalia Jackson, the Davis Sisters. Oh man, I mean, and the Five Blind Boys of Mississippi. Oh, they just knock me out, I'm telling you. When I hear good singing, I love it. In fact, I love all good singing. Well, how I got into blues, because I didn't know anyone at the time to do what I wanted to do. And back in this, when you're hungry, you try to make a fast buck to try to stop from being hungry. I would like very much to cut some spirituals. Get me a good group behind me and cut some nice old time spiritual records because I like good singing.
Who else was on that show that you auditioned for when you started? Were there any names that I may recognize?
Yeah, a young man was singing on the show at the time called Billy Wright. He made a nice hit record. And he was doing real nice on that. He got on Savoy label and he was doing pretty nice on that. I haven't heard from Billy in quite a while.
You don't remember hearing any low-down blues guys around your hometown?
No.
Guys like Muddy Waters, in that style, you didn't have...
Well, and Muddy Waters and Jimmy Reed wasn't... I didn't hear of him until lately here.
Yeah.
Well, Muddy Waters, he was out. He was doing something. And Howlin' Wolf, they was doing... they was on label.
Yeah. But you didn't hear any local people down there?
No, the only thing I heard local was some spiritual quartets, and I don't forget the name of that, been so long. Well, I haven't, you know, I didn't get to hear anything about nothing like that until after I had started singing and was already gone away. And then and people tell me, say, well, I'm from Montgomery, I'm from Alabama, or, you know, Tennessee. But I didn't know anything about them, you know, because they came along behind me.
How did you meet up with this fellow, Brad Taylor?
Brad Taylor? He got a record on the shelf. Do you know that Sentimental Reasons thing I used to do? I cut a tape on that, and I don't know what he did. I guess he wore the tape out. He won't release the record. Yeah, I met Brad while I was working in Santa Cruz, San Francisco, around the Bay Area here.
Anything you want to tell us about? Maybe you want to tell the world about it?
Yeah, I need a job. I need a job. I need help. Help. See, so many youngsters jumping up now. They forget about the old timers. Yes. And right now, you'd be surprised that the old timers got more to offer than some of those youngsters. Right. You know, if people were just come out and listening to the old timers, and they'll realize that they can. Old timers are still going. Me, all I just need to break. All I want to do is put something out there that means just let me sit down and just take my time, put some good background behind it, and let me just show the world what I got. That's all I want. Let's go to show you now. Like you singing on the stage. Now on the stage, I can perform 40 minutes and never say the same thing twice. But see, it just comes to me like that. Yeah. And I can just start to sing it and make a song right on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I think just making up a song on the stage and you get that feeling and got somebody behind you that grew it, it comes out much better anyway. Because to my idea, to like a person write a song, they have given me songs and I wind up changing that song completely. Because to my idea, it's just like when I made this Summertime. I didn't do it like everybody else do it. I do it different. And the flip side, called Truth Come to the Light, the man that wrote that side, he gave me the words and I changed it around completely. Mm-hmm. And Truth Come to the Light, to my idea, it sounded better than Summertime. And this new day, I got an answer to Hound Dog called Tomcat.
Have they put that out?
Well, they released it the day, and I said, say, now.
Got a letter yesterday that is
That's Big Mama Thornton, and I'm Feeling All Right from Blues Roots. Also just got to hear a big ol' interview with her and Chris Strachwitz. That is from Big Mama Thornton in Europe. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, there's music aplenty happening in San Francisco and albums aplenty that are about to drop. Here to talk about the record release party for Message of Love, I'd like to welcome from Music City, Rudy Colombini. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Marilyn?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. By the way, Big Mama Thornton had the original Hound Dog.
She sure
and,
did.
I love her version.
I'll be playing it afterwards just because you gave it your thumbs up. So, Rudy, tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me a little bit about this Message of Love.
Okay. Rudy Colombini, mm-hmm. San Francisco musicians, going back for a long time. I play in a band called the Unauthorized Rolling Stones.
Oh,
I just
cool.
released this album, which is Message of Love, right now it's nationally charting at 23.
Ooh.
The album release party is Thursday night.
This coming Thursday?
Even more exciting part of this is, in a sense, the opening of an underground floor for Music City San Francisco, where we have six venues.
Wait, so what's Music City? What's Music City San Francisco?
Music City San Francisco is an epicenter that has just been completed. It's a $30 million project where we have seven stages, 20 studios that are plug and play, also recording studios and audiovisual studios. It's the San Francisco Music Hall of Fame. It's, I call it the center of music for Northern California.
Okay.
Even more important, we now have what we call a music imprint for Music City with Universal Music. So that means that Rudy Colombini is a music executive, and I can sign local artists and local bands.
Oh, very cool. So who have you signed thus far?
Well, are you surprised? Surprised? Me.
Okay.
That's what they always wanted.
Got it.
Great.
Well, tell me a little bit about the Unauthorized Rolling Stones.
Well, the Unauthorized Rolling Stones will be coming up to 25 years of playing Northern California and has toured the world. We've opened up for the likes of John, Chaka Khan, Devo, Journey, and on and on. We play local gigs mostly because I am also the CEO for Music City San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And I have built Music City. I am the founder of Music City. But the unauthorized are playing constantly. Yesterday we were in the East Bay. This week we will be playing at Sweetwater in Marin.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the purpose of my conversation with you is to bring people to Music City San Francisco Thursday night at 6 p.m. And the extravaganza will be going on till about 11.
So at this extravaganza, what is it just you guys, or are there a number of bands? Tell me more about this.
It's 10 bands, mm-hmm. 10 local bands that have been playing in the local area for a number of years, they're quite good. They're curated by none other than us.
Okay, and who are they?
I don't have that list with me. I can remember Sarah Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And I am running right here, see if I can find the whole list.
Well, while you're looking for the list, tell me a little bit about the album "Message of Love." What's the theme? Is it all Rolling Stones? What's on the album?
What is on the album? This is a spiritual rock and roll record. I'd say the general vibe of it would go back to the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. As of right now, it's on the rock chart nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And songs about, the salvation of the world, brotherly love, communication with, higher self. The message of love is, love itself and how we can get closer to being kinder and having a happier world.
Very cool. And your bandmates, did you all do this as a collaborative effort, or was it part of the set that you normally do? Tell me a little bit more about how the album came together.
Well, it's written, arranged, and composed by me.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded it with the unauthorized Rolling Stones and Robert Berry down in Campbell, California. If I had to say what a like kind would be, it would be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Who else? Maybe John Cougar Mellencamp. Of course, you can't really keep the Stones out of anything with me. And I was a big fan of the Beatles and still am. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to meet John Lennon. He helped me curate my own songwriting. And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, very cool. So remind our listening audience when and where the location for the music release party.
The music release party is this Thursday night. It starts, there's a meet and greet at 6 p.m. The bands, which is 10 bands, start playing at 7. Mm-hmm. Is opening up a new basement area, which is 6,000 square feet, where we have six clubs in one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bar, restaurant, food, and 60 rehearsal studios that, should you get tired of 10 bands, there's another 20 bands playing behind closed doors. You are free to knock and walk in.
Oh, wow. Do they know that?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
That's very cool. So if people want to attend the event, where can they buy tickets?
You can go to musiccitysf.com and pick up tickets.
And if people want to find out more about upcoming events and other bands, is that the same email address?
It will be on the site. So you have to go through a couple of pages to get there, but it's pretty obvious. Just click on events and which event you're thinking of coming to.
And then if people want to find out more about what the unauthorized Rolling Stones are doing, how do they go about doing that?
You can just Google the unauthorized Rolling Stones, and there's a list of where our gigs are.
Excellent. Well, Rudy Colombini, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for pronouncing my name, Colombini. You said it in Italian. Good job.
Thank you. I tried to teach myself Italian when I was a kid, so the pronunciation things, those were the ones that stuck because they're right at the beginning of the books.
Good job. So everybody needs to know this is probably the most important complex that's ever built in San Francisco. If you're not even interested in anything we're doing, come see the complex. It'll blow your mind.
All right. Well, once again,
all right.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, People of Earth, that's your opportunity, the big record release party on Thursday. You're probably going to want to check it out. And you know what else you're going to want to check out? You're going to want to check out Big Mama Thornton singing, yeah, that's right, Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
That is Big Mama Thornton and Hound Dog from the roots of rock and roll, 1946 to 1954. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. And don't forget, KPOO is a listener-sponsored radio station. We stay on the air through your very generous tax-deductible donations. So why not send a check or money order to KPOO, Post Office Box 156650, San Francisco 94115. And if you are planning to go to the Music City thing this Thursday, that is on Bush Street, which is at 1353 Bush Street. So you're just going to want to check that out. And, you know, I'm going to play my favorite Elvis cut. It is Rock a Hula Baby.
She moves her hips up to her fingertips, I feel I'm heaven bound. And when she starts to sway, I've gotta say, she really moves the grass around. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby, got a hula loop from Honolulu. That rock a hula baby of mine. Although I love to
to kiss my little hula miss. I never get the chance. I want to hold her tight all through the night, but all she wants to do is dance. Rock, a hula baby, rock. A hula baby got a hula loo from Honolulu. Rock a hula baby of mine.
There you have it. That's my favorite. I do love it. And speaking of Elvis, there's like tons of shows happening about Elvis, and there's a band called the Nashville Honeymoon.
Nashville Honeymoon. That's the band that my wife and I started.
And if you're wondering who's talking
right now,
I'd like to introduce Hank Manninger. Welcome.
How are you doing, Marilyn? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show with your guitar, which means that you're going to play some music. So tell me a little bit about your musical background.
Well, I've been playing music for longer than I care to admit. And so I started off out in the suburbs playing with a bunch of suburb people. And then when I was a young guy, I moved to San Francisco and started playing with Bonnie Hayes.
Oh, okay.
You know who Bonnie Hayes is?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah,
but everything sounds familiar to me.
Way back in the 80s, we were a popular club band and had a couple of songs in the Valley Girl soundtrack.
Okay.
And so it was a very well-known band. And then she went on, after that band, she went on to play with like Billy Idol.
Okay.
And then she, and various other big
did
people.
Did she have a band called the Wild Combo?
I was a Wild Combo member.
Oh, okay.
Bonnie Hayes and the Wild Combo.
Got it. Okay.
And we had a song, Shelley's Boyfriend. Shelley, look. You got a boyfriend. It was in the Valley Girl movie.
Okay.
But then she wrote Love Letter and Have a Heart for Bonnie Raitt.
Okay.
So then, but I started, I was a bass player in that band. So then after that, I kind of got into roots music. And then I played some rockabilly. I played in the surf band, the Aqua Velvets. I led my own band, played in bars. And played with a country singer, Johnny Dilks.
Okay.
And then I toured around with a band called the Hacienda Brothers.
All right.
And then after the Hacienda Brothers, I started a band with my wife. We started writing songs together. It was amazing because when we met and we had a child and everything, I was on the road with this band. But then that band ended, the Hacienda Brothers ended.
Okay.
And we started playing together, and we had never played together for years in our relationship.
How long had you been together before you realized that you could play together?
Probably around 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know that she was a musician or could sing?
She had played guitar as a teenager in Spain. She had a year in Spain. And I always heard, you know, her singing a little bit. I always thought, oh, you have a nice voice. But I was a full-on professional musician. She was, at that point, she was very involved in nonprofits and literacy-based nonprofit organizations. But then one time I wrote a song for this little short movie that a filmmaker named Myra Patchy made. She wanted something in the Hank Williams realm. And I wrote this song and I said, well, honey, you should sing this song. Oh, I should preface this by saying we did a school function that involved parents and teachers performing, and I recruited her.
Oh, okay.
And we sang Jackson by Johnny Cash and June Carter.
Okay.
So I knew, I was surprised. It's the first time we were ever on stage together. It's the first time she was ever in front of a mic on stage, period.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
First time. And she was good, you know? And so then I was asked to write this song. So I wrote this song for this movie, and I said, honey, you should sing this song. And so she did. Uh-huh. And we did it. It's in this short little movie called Juicy Throws a Party.
Okay.
Weird little short. Very good. But and then after we did all that, she says, you know, I like the song you wrote and everything, but I don't think it's finished. I'm like, what are you talking about? She says, yeah, I think it could use a bridge. I'm like, oh, yeah, my song needs a bridge. I got uh-huh. a little bit defensive. Uh-huh. But she's like, yeah, I think it's something like this. And so we wrote a bridge.
Okay. And did it vastly improve the song?
Well, it added to it for okay. sure. It's on our first record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she started sitting in with a band of mine. And then next thing you know, we started writing songs together and we started Nashville Honeymoon.
Wow.
Yeah. We have three records out. We're currently working on our fourth.
Okay.
Play around a lot.
All right. So you were basically your wife's cheerleader at the beginning.
Yes.
Wow.
But she's a really good songwriter. She's got a beautiful voice. Uh-huh. And she's a solid rhythm guitar player. And
so like now, so you were 4 years together before you started singing. Now, how long have you been singing together?
Well, we started singing around 2011, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little earlier than that, 2010,
okay.
2011, something like that.
Now, was she ever shy about it, or did she sort of take to it like a duck to water?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I like to be on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you put me on stage and you give me the attention. I love that.
Okay.
She loves music. She loves singing. She loves writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good on stage. She's very good on stage. But she's not like I am.
Okay.
As far as like, I mean, I just love to be on stage. I love to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a little bit more reserved on stage than I am. So sometimes we joke about we're a little bit like Louis Prima, Keeley Smith, if you remember how they were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not completely, but I'm like.
I get you. You're like the flamboyant out there bouncing around.
Yeah.
She's just sort of chill doing her thing.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. Very cool. So what are some of the songs that you guys have performed together that we might recognize?
Well, we don't do Jackson much anymore, but as far as cover, most our three records are all original.
Okay.
So if you come see us play, we are about like at least half to two thirds original music.
Mm-hmm.
But the covers we like to do Ode to Billy Joe.
Oh, I love that. Have you heard Nancy Wilson do it?
No.
So, okay, that will be how I end the show.
Oh, I love that.
You know when you put on a song because you think, oh, it's going to be really funny, and then it just knocks your socks off instead. It's amazing. It's amazing.
We like to do an old Johnny Cash song called Cry, Cry, Cry.
Okay.
Which is from the Sun era.
Okay.
You know, and when we do, there's a new one we're doing. Daddy Was a Preacher, Mama Was a Go-Go Girl.
Oh, I like that.
That's just a fun, cool song.
Is that a cover or an original?
That's a cover.
Oh, who did that originally?
Joanna Neal.
Ooh,
it's obscure.
Daddy was a preacher, what?
Mama was a go-go girl.
I have to hear that.
Yeah. But you know, we have our third record. We have a song on our third record that is called Sears Roebuck, about the old Sears Roebuck catalog and about when Lynn, my wife, my partner in the band, Lynn Mays, she when she was a little girl, she would like go through the Sears Roebuck catalog.
Didn't we all, though?
Yeah.
For Christmas, like going through it page by page.
Right.
Like, this is what I want. I want 12 boxes of Legos. And
Yes. So this is a song about reminiscing about being a little girl, looking through the Sears Roebuck catalog, dreaming about what you could get. So that's on our new record. And there's another song on our new record that we named Nashville Honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
That's about our trips to Nashville and about all our adventures in Nashville.
Okay, so this new album, when did it come out?
Oh, it came out 2 years ago. We're currently working on a new
–
it's called Just Like Yesterday.
Okay.
It's our latest.
All right.
But we're currently busy writing away. We've recorded some, but – We're not like when we record a record, we're not super fast about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're not a touring band. We play locally. My wife is a librarian.
Oh, what's her name?
Lynn Mays.
Okay.
She works over at the Marin Free Library. She is over at the Marin Civic Center Library.
In Marin County?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
She was in SF for a long time.
You know, because I interview librarians once a month, the last Monday of the month.
Check this out. Also on our new record is a song called The Ballad of Grace Grace C. Lucas, and it's about pack horse librarians.
Oh, you need to send that to me ASAP.
Yeah, yeah. I should have. You don't have our CD, do you?
I do not.
I should have brought a copy.
You should. But you did bring your guitar.
I did.
You know that will make up for it.
Oh, good.
That will make up for it.
Sorry about that.
Well, since you've got your guitar here, why don't you wow us with a song?
Well, you know we have this big Elvis tribute coming up.
I do, but I was going to pretend like I didn't. But now you've blown my cover. Okay, tell us about the Elvis tribute show that's coming up.
I don't have to do an Elvis song, but I was thinking I would do an Elvis song.
Okay.
Because of this big Elvis tribute coming up. So on Sunday at the Makeout Room, which is in the Mission District on 22nd between Valencia and Mission.
Oh, okay. I know
cool
that is.
Club. We have this wonderful tribute. And a whole bunch of guest singers are going to be involved. And Ben Fong Torres.
Ooh.
Famous journalist.
Yeah, we've had him on the show. I
bet.
He's awesome.
Elvis Herselfus.
Sweet.
Your friend.
Yeah.
AKA Lee Crow.
Yeah.
And Howl Devine. Heard of Howl Devine? They are a really cool blues trio.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Very kind of like early blues sounding. Uh-huh. And the guitar player, Josh Howell, plays harmonica and guitar. He switches. Joe Kyle on bass, Pete Devine on drums. Then we have the great singer, Lydia Walker.
Okay.
And Johnny Dilks, who is a country singer. I used to play in his band for years.
Yeah,
Johnny Dilks. So let me see who we've got. Johnny, Lydia, Howell Devine, Lee, Ben, and then Rowan Katz, who is a great singer, is going to be singing some background vocals, and like the Jordanaires. Remember the Jordanaires?
I've heard of them. Yeah,
they were the
smooth crooner, doo-wop,
bop, that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. She's going to be doing those vocals with me as called for in the song. And I think she's probably going to sing a song also.
Oh, very cool.
And then we have Mark Capel playing piano.
Oh, another friend of mine.
Yeah. Cool. And then Nashville Honeymoon, Lynn and I, and our drummer, Lior Berry.
Okay.
And Joe Kyle will be playing bass with us the whole time because our normal bass player is previously occupied. Joe Kyle is one of our main subs.
Gotcha.
So that's Steve Indig, the great Steve Indig, your friend, is putting this thing on. I think it's either the fourth or the fifth time we've done it.
Okay. And is it just because you can?
Well, Steve loves Elvis Presley.
Okay.
And, you know, years ago, when we did the first one, he just said, hey, man, I have this idea. We're going to celebrate Elvis.
Okay.
We did the first one. We had a bunch of guests. And
would this be around the time of his birthday or his death? Or is it just when you had the idea?
Well, Steve always figures out some event, historical event, that to attach the show to.
Sure.
And the historical event this time is the release of Elvis's first single on Sun Records.
Which was?
That's All Right, Ma.
Oh, wow.
B-side Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Wow. Was that also a big, that was also a Big Mama Thornton song, That's All Right, right?
No.
No, it was a different one?
The Big Mama Thornton song.
No, I know it's Hound Dog.
Hound Dog.
But so, because she also does a version of
That's All Right, All Ma, right. I think was Junior Parker.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay, cool.
If I'm not wrong.
All right. So the release of his first one. So is anyone going to be doing that song?
Yeah.
Is everyone going to be doing that
song?
Yeah.
I think Lee is going to do that song.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of people like to talk about the history of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And the history of rock and roll is a very complex subject. And there's no one answer to any of these questions. And but Elvis, I would say if you really insist on calling one record the first rock and roll record, I would probably say That's All Right, Ma, B-side, Blue Moon in Kentucky. That kind of would be my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously this is very debatable and it gets into a whole lot of issues.
Sure.
Right? But Elvis is super interesting because if you look at his Sun Records, he has – like songs by blues people like Big Mama. Not he didn't do any Big Mama, but he did a lot of blues songs by mm-hmm. Junior Parker. Mm-hmm. He did bluegrass by Bill Monroe. Okay. He did full-on pop songs. He did like country western standards. He basically did a big cross-section
sure.
of what one would hear on the radio. Mm-hmm. And his main love was gospel quartets. That's what Elvis loved and what he thought he was going to be before he started doing what
– the shake.
Yeah. It was all very interesting story. But so, I mean, Elvis is like – I see it as a great Shakespearean tragedy, you know.
Do tell.
Well, I mean, he was a young – he came from a – he was the only child. He was born a twin. His twin died – right after they were born. And, you know, his parents were very poor. Mm-hmm. His dad spent time in jail. He was very close to his mom. Very poor upbringing, but just loved music. Like fell in, like wandered into Sun Studios, kept wanting them to record him. Mm-hmm. Really had no idea what was happening. But he was just... he was an innocent kid. And what happened, he got caught up in this insane bunch of circumstances. And, you know, no one ever thought. Colonel Tom Parker, his manager, and Elvis, they never thought that what happened would happen. They always thought, well, okay, I have some singles. How mm-hmm. long is this going to last? A couple mm-hmm. of years? Mm-hmm. And then I'm out just like everybody else is out. So, you know, I mean, who can handle being such a big star and having all that thrown? I don't know if anybody can.
Yeah, I don't think, especially when you're young and you get into it because you don't really have enough experience with life to buttress yourself. Like mm-hmm. I've often heard people who became famous later in life say that they're glad that it didn't happen when they were younger because they wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Yes. Elvis was 19. And, you know, his mom died early on, too, after he became a star. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was just sort of a real, real, like, damaged guy. And, you know, so all the things you hear about Elvis, I just see it as a tragic story, you know. And if anybody ever wants to learn about Elvis, the Peter Gralnick, there's two books Peter Gralnick wrote about Elvis, mm-hmm. Companion biographies. And that really, to me, is the definitive – that is the definitive story of Elvis. So,
okay.
But I'm fascinated by Elvis, and I think he was great, you know.
Well, obviously, because you brought a guitar down to play one of his hits. So which one will it be?
Well, the B-side of his very first Sun record was a bluegrass song. Mm-hmm. And it was originally done as a waltz by Bill Monroe, the king of bluegrass. But Elvis four-four'd it. Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon, keep a shining bright. Blue moon, keep on shining bright. You're gonna bring me back, my baby, tonight. Blue moon, keep shining bright. I say, blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and let me blue. I say, blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. Well, it was on a moonlit night, stars shining bright, wind blowing high, my love, say goodbye. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue.
Thank you. That was
just
awesome.
Short version.
I appreciate it. It's beautiful, though. Thank you so much. So when is the Elvis tribute again? Where is it? How do we get tickets? Tell us everything.
You know, it is at the Makeout Room.
Mm-hmm.
And the Makeout Room is, I think it's on 22nd. Mm-hmm. It's either 22nd or 21st. I think it's 22nd between Valencia and Mission.
Okay.
And the show starts at 8 o'clock. And there are ticket links on the website of the Makeout Room.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy tickets at the door.
And it is at it is on 22nd Street at 3225 22nd Street.
Good. So, yeah. And we're going to do two big sets. And Downbeat is 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go till around 10:30 to 11. After the band does our two sets, there's going to be DJ music.
Very cool.
Like with a lot of classic rock and roll.
Excellent, excellent. And if people want to find out more about Nashville Honeymoon and, you know, the CDs, how do they do that?
They can go to nashvillehoneymoon.com.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
Yes, that is easy. And let's see. We will be playing the Riptide.
Oh, okay.
Over on Terravelle,
mm-hmm.
like between 46th and 47th on Terravelle, out in the Outer Sunset, mm-hmm. over by the zoo. We will be there on Sunday.
Easily accessible by the L?
Yes.
I've taken it.
I believe it's Sunday.
This coming Sunday?
August 4th.
Oh, okay.
And we play Sunday's August 4th, right? Is that the 4th?
It's the 3rd.
Oh, my bad. It's August 3rd, and we will be there. We are there. No, it's actually the 4th.
Okay, so you're Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, not
yes.
Saturday.
Sunday, August 4th. We are there the first Sunday of every month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And
what time of day?
7:30.
Okay.
7:30 to 10.
Okay.
And then every second Thursday,
uh-huh.
we are at the Little Hill Lounge.
Where's that?
That is in El Cerrito.
Oh, okay.
So every second Thursday, we are there.
Okay.
And
because I have a friend who lives in El Cerrito. She might want to check you guys out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, the address of the Little Hill Lounge is 10753,
mm-hmm.
10753 San Pablo Avenue.
Okay.
But you can sign up for our mailing list on our website, and we will send you emails telling you about all our various gigs. We play around. We play around 4 or 5 times a month,
okay.
you know, on well, average.
Once again, for the Makeout Room, what time and where to get tickets?
We start at 8.
Okay.
And
that's at 3225 22nd Street. And
yes.
How do they get tickets?
And you should be able to go to the you should be able to go to the Makeout Room website and
okay.
get tickets.
And can you walk up and get tickets?
Yes.
Sweet.
You can. And I'm just looking here. I want to make sure about something. Yes, doors are at 7:30. Band starts at 8.
Okay. And there's like a million bands and it's going to be great.
Well, one band and we back everybody up except Howl Devine is going to take the stage and just be the
gotcha.
Three of those guys for a little segment.
Very cool.
All right.
Well, I want to thank you, Hank Menninger, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And now you get to hear the Nancy Wilson version of Ode to Billy Joe, which is exquisite.
I can't wait.
All right. And my audience can't wait. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. Go check them out. It's about time for me to ride off into the sunset and enjoy life. But before I do, I'm going to leave you with one cut. It's Nancy Wilson from the Welcome to My Love LP. It is called Ode to Billy Joe. Mr. Ford won't be in today, but you will be hearing some fabulous soul music. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta. And toodly-doo.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton, my brother baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered out the back door, "Don't remember, wipe your feet." Then she said, "I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.